like you please to turn with me to three passages of Scripture. The first in the book of Psalms, Psalm 53, 53rd Psalm, page 723. Psalm 53. To the chief musician on Mahalath, an instruction of David. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. They have corrupted themselves and have done abominable iniquity. There is none that doeth good. God looked down from the heavens upon the children of men to see if there are any that did understand, that did seek God. Every one of them is gone back. They are together become corrupt. There is none that doeth good, not even one. Epistle to the Romans, chapter 3. Book of the Romans, Epistle, Paul to the Romans, page 1351, chapter 3, and verse 21. But now, without law, righteousness of God is manifested, borne witness to by the law and the prophets, righteousness of God by faith of Jesus Christ, towards all and upon all those who believe. For there is no difference, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption which is in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth a mercy seat through faith in his blood. Finally, John's Gospel, chapter 3. John's Gospel, chapter 3, and verse 14. John 3, 14, and page 1269 in my Bible. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, thus must the Son of Man be lifted up, that everyone who believes on him may not perish, but have life eternal. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes on him may not perish, but have life eternal. For God has not sent his Son into the world that he may judge the world, but that the world may be saved through him. I'd like to speak of God's wonderful way of salvation. God has a remedy for sin. But first of all, I need to tell you or remind you that all have sinned. Very sad feature about the present day in which we live, that persons do not believe in God. The fool hath said in his heart, there is no God. He said it in his heart. It's become deeply entrenched and ingrained into the minds of men and women today that there is no God. Theory of evolution is proclaimed as gospel truth. And the gospel of the grace of God is set aside as of no particular benefit or advantage to men. How foolish it is. It's foolishness to realize, to not to believe in God. You know, so many around us, our neighbors, our friends at school, our colleagues at work, do not believe in God. And yet the evidence is all around. The evidence of the power and presence of God is visible to you in creation. Creation declares the power and greatness of God. How foolish to think that we have over many, 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 many years evolved. And also, it's completely foolish to believe that inanimate matter can become life of itself. Life demands an act of creation. And if you read the book of Genesis, you'll see that only God can do it. Man cannot create life out of nothing, out of material things, out of whatever. God alone can do it. God has, for his pleasure, created this world and the men and women in it. But something has gone wrong. Not with the creation, but with man. Problem in the world today is can be traced back to sin, disobedience. Adam disobeyed God. God gave him a wonderful situation. I've often said this. God gave him a super place to live, a wonderful garden. He planted it himself. And Eden means paradise. It means pleasure, place of pleasure. And God had all this, the very best, for man's blessing. And he told him he could eat everything except of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. One tree, one plant that God, that man was not allowed to eat of. And of course, it's the very thing he did. And plunged the world into sin and darkness. Not only did David the psalmist know that all have sinned, but so did Paul the apostle. And that's why I read to you in Romans 3, all have sinned. It's not a nice thing, but it's true. And you and I are, by nature, we're sinners. And as such, we're away from God. But God hasn't given us up. The wonderful thing about the gospel message, my dear friends, is God has a way of salvation. God is righteously able to save poor, lost, ruined sinners like me and like you. Now, that is the most wonderful thing. Men, of course, many don't believe it. But it's true because God has done it. What God says is true. What God does is true and righteous. And what God will yet do is righteous. And God, you know, isn't going to overlook sin. He's appointed a day when he will judge the world in righteousness by the man whom he's appointed. So God doesn't let up on sin, but he is able righteously to forgive the sinner. That is, he's able righteously to forgive you and me. That's wonderful news. Glad tidings simply means good news. We read about glad tidings this afternoon. The good news that Paul had from Timothy was glad tidings. It was good news. Good news tonight is that God is able to forgive you your sins in perfect righteousness because Jesus has been here. The Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, came into the conditions we find ourselves in, sin apart. He came into manhood, a perfect, holy, sinless, spotless man. The Lamb of God, John says, who takes away the sin of the world. God could only deal with sin by somebody coming here to take those sins and bear the consequences, the penalty of sin himself. And the only one that could do it was the Lord Jesus Christ. I could never do it because I'm a sinner. You could never do it. The greatest person that's ever lived in this world could not take away sin. They might like to deny it, but that is not the same thing at all. People today deny sin. They deny God. They deny everything that the believer, the Christian, stands for. But it doesn't alter the fact that they're still sinners and that they one day will have to face God. You see, because God created us and we're made in his image, we are accountable to God. Persons don't like to be accountable to God. I'm sure atheism was invented by men to try and take away their sense of responsibility as to having to answer to God for their behavior. And that is so today. But it's true that God will take and call men and women into account for their behavior. If you don't believe me, read Revelation 20, the great white throne. The most terrifying thing that will ever happen in this universe will be the great white throne, where God will finally have to say to sinners and to sin. But you and I need not be afraid of that, because God has a wonderful portion of blessing for you and for me if we turn to the Lord Jesus. And that's why I read to you in John's Gospel, because it speaks of God's remedy for sin. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, you see, the people of God have been sinning. They've been doing what God said they shouldn't do. And many of them got bitten by snakes. And unless they looked at the pole of brass, the serpent of brass lifted up by Moses, they died. There was no remedy outside of that. And the footnote said, looked intently. And that corresponds with believing. Look intently. They had to turn away from themselves and look at that pole of brass which speaks of Christ made sin. They had to look at that. They had to look away from themselves. Otherwise they die. And unless you look away from yourselves and look to Christ, you will die in the sense that you will miss eternal blessing. So they had to look intently on the serpent of brass. And as many as looked, lived. If you want to look it up, it's Numbers 21. So there was a remedy made by God for sin. And the Lord Jesus is the remedy presented by God for sin and for sinners. And if you look to Jesus, if you believe on him, if you put your faith and trust in him, you will not perish, but you will have life eternal. You will be saved and you will become a child of God. How wonderful it is that God has a remedy for sin. It would be no good my standing up here and merely telling you that you're sinners. You probably know that anyhow. But it would be no good. It would be no joy. There would be no good news if that was all we had to say. The good news is that Jesus has borne my sins. He himself, who knew not sin, was made sin. He bore our sins in his body on the tree. The Lord Jesus Christ suffered and died, the just for the unjust, the only man that ever lived on this earth, sin apart, the only one who ever did the will of God, the only one who was ever pleasing to heaven, suffered and died, and did that on account of my sins and yours. What a wonderful thing it is that God has provided a remedy for sin. There'd be no hope otherwise. It would be no good trying to make ourselves better. Another psalm tells us that the redemption of the soul is costly and must be put aside, I think it means, forever. It cannot be done. You cannot redeem your soul. You cannot make yourself fit or suitable for God. But God can forgive your sins and make you suitable for his presence. That's the wonderful thing. In Romans, that's why it said, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption which is in Christ Jesus. The Lord Jesus has suffered, and on account of our sins, he suffered, we say, vicariously. The one who knew not sin was made sin. The Lord Jesus did this on our behalf. So there is, should be a remedy. There is a remedy for sin. A remedy for people like you and me, for sinners like us. We can have our sins forgiven. We may receive the gift of the Holy Spirit and we may become sons of God. What a wonderful thing. From being lost, helpless, ruined sinners to becoming sons of the living God. What a wonderful, glorious outcome. God is not defeated, has not been defeated by the coming in of sin. He's provided a remedy whereby he may richly bless you and me. When we read the epistle to the Ephesians, we read that God has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenlies in Christ Jesus. That's people like you and me, lost, ruined sinners, cleansed from our sins, indwelt by the Spirit, and blessed with every blessing that God could possibly give us spiritually. So, what a God we have. How wonderful it is that God so loved the world. Think of God loving a world full of lost, ruined sinners. People who hated him. Think of what they did to his son. His beloved son, the Lord Jesus, came here, sin apart, doing good, healing all who were oppressed, and casting out demons, giving blind sight, even raising the dead. And what did they do? They put him to death. We will not have this man to reign over us. That was the world's judgment on Christ, and it's not yet been reversed. We live in a world that's cast out Christ. So how wonderful that God would sustain us and bless us spiritually in such a situation. So that there should be praise for God. You know, God created man for his pleasure. You and I were created for the pleasure of God. And what has happened? As sinners, we've turned away from God to our own pleasures, to our own wills, to our own devices. But God has presented Christ to us as the alone Saviour for sinners. There's no other way into the blessing that God offers you. There's no other way of salvation than that to put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. God is looking for you to repent, to say you're sorry, to turn away and turn to him. What a wonderful God we have. Despite 2,000 years of men neglecting him, the same message is going out today. But a word of warning, it won't go out forever. The day is coming when the Lord Jesus Christ, and we are about to read it in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 verse 15, he's coming for those who belong to him. Are you among them? And the Lord Jesus is coming very soon. This world is going to its perdition, it's going to its ruin, and the church is going to her glory. The church goes from its ruin to its glory. And we see the church ruined publicly, broken down, split up. But the Lord Jesus is going to call the church, everyone who belongs to him, everyone indwelt by the Holy Spirit, to be with him where he is. And there'll be no discordant sound, no differing view there. The Lord Jesus will be supreme and his church will be ever eternally in his presence. That's the outlook of the Christian. We're not looking to make the world better. We pray that he that restrains will restrain, that the world will be restrained by the power and indwelling of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is here not only in believers, but he's also restraining in the world. And our desire is that the pathway may be made through for everyone who belongs to him. We have a wonderful Saviour. We have a wonderful God. And we have the power and indwelling of a wonderful Holy Spirit. So we have everything in Christ Jesus. What a wonderful position to be in. No longer lost, no longer helpless, no longer fearing God, but brought near as sons. God hasn't just made us and forgiven us our sins. That will be wonderful and great. He has. But he's brought us into relationship with himself as sons. Sons. Well, wonderful thing to know what it is to have this wonderful relationship with God. To know him as our Father, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord said in resurrection, I ascend to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God. In resurrection, the Lord Jesus brings us into relationship with himself and with his God and Father. Well, what wonderful things we have to enjoy. The world is a dark, unloving place, and it's getting worse. And we can see the moral degradation around us. In this country, in Great Britain, we can see it clearly. And in Europe, it's there in every country. It's getting worse, but the Lord is coming soon for all who belong to him. Will you be among them? Through God's mercy, I shall. And I would trust and pray that everyone in this room should have that wonderful relationship with God, that they're waiting for the coming of the Lord and they're ready for him to come at any time. He may come any day, any moment now. This might be the last gospel preaching in Auchinyell Road, in this hall. Well, may we listen to what God is saying. May we repent of our sins. May we come to know God as our Father and be brought into the wonderful joy and peace of believing. God will give us peace and joy in believing on his Son. May it be your portion today for his name's sake.